So we just got finished saying that according to one version in Rabbi Yochanan, we had a machlokes in Rabbi Yochanan, whether you have a mitzvah sheni, you to marry the mitzvah Rishayna, or vice versa. You go by dad, you go by mom. The one by went by dad said, they're Jewish. By Jewish people, we go by their father. And the one that goes by mom said from the word Asher Yuvoldu. You go by the one who gave birth, you go by mom. Track the Gemara. Elul Hada Amar Rava. Three lines from the bottom. Ayin Chet Amar Aleph. 78a, I would guess 4. That would be my guess. Elul Hada Amar Rava. Three lines from the bottom. Nachris Muberish in his Gaira. A pregnant lady who's not Jewish, who is Megayer. B'no Ein Tzarech Tfila. Her son does not have to be going to the mikvah. Meaning, her son is born Jewish. Amay Ein Tzarech Tfila. Why not? If he goes by the mother, right? If he goes by the mother, right? So, I'm sorry. The question is, right? So we think, at this point, that we go by the... I'm sorry, let's say again. It's by the mitzri that it says, Asher Yuvoldu. But besides for that, we say, Uber Lav Yaruch Yimoy. That's what the Gemara had answered, right? Because remember, Rabbi Yechon had said, somebody separates two animals for a pregnant animal for a chatas. We don't view the baby as a baby of the chatas. We view it as a separate animal. Uber Lav Yaruch Yimoy. If Uber Lav Yaruch Yimoy, so when mom tables, why does the tefillah help for the child? See, by mitzvah is exeris akosav asher yivoldu. But everywhere else, we don't go and say that the Uber is part of mom. So if Uber is not part of mom, so when the mom toibles, why does it work for the Uber? The Uber is a separate entity, and the Uber didn't go to the mikvah. The Chi Teima, Mishum de Rabbi Yitzchak, the Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, Dvar Taira, Rubai, Machbar Olam Chaitis, Rubai Shein, Machbar Olam Ein Chaitis. Rabbi Yitzchak said that, biblically speaking, a chatzitza is only a chatzitza if it covers most of the body, and the person cares that it's there. He would rather it not be there. So therefore we say, the tefillah is no good. This is biblically. Rabbinically, we're machmer on even something he's not machmer on. And even on a miyut, we're machmer. But halacha d'oraisa is the only time it's a chatzitza, if it covers most of the person or the keli that you're traveling, and you don't want it there, or at times you don't want it there. That's called rubayu machmer olav chaitz, rubay she'ena machmer olav eina chaitz. And we're going by the deraisa. Therefore, the woman doesn't care that her fetus is covered by her body. If she's not makbid on it, she wants it there. She doesn't like it off. She likes it where it is. So therefore, it wouldn't be a chatzitza. And the baby would be considered as if it's stifled. Again, the baby is underwater. Terence says it's something blocking the water from accessing. There's two halachas. The item you stifle has to be underwater. Besides from being underwater, it can be blocked. Now, the halachas of blockage are not that the water has to touch every part. It's that the person should not be covered mostly by something that he doesn't want there at times. But if it's covered by something that he doesn't care about, and he doesn't mind it's there ever, it's considered a good tefillah. Let me give it a mashal, and again, this is not halacha l'maisa. I don't want anybody to walk away saying that this is halacha l'maisa. Please, it's not. I'm just giving a mashal because it's a simple mashal. A woman that wears a ring, she takes it off when she goes to the mikvah, because not always does she wear the ring. There are times she wants it off. When she needs dough, she takes her ring off. She wouldn't, so therefore, since at times she wants the ring off, it's considered machmer. Now, it's rubai, it's miyutai, but we're machmer, it's rabbinic. But I'm just trying to show the concept of machmer. When she takes a shower, she takes the ring off. She doesn't want her ring to get wet. So therefore, it's considered machmer olav. But let's say you have a woman, theoretically, and it's not true halachically, because we go by right women. But let's say you would have somebody that doesn't care that something is there ever. Ever. So then we say, right, biblically speaking, even if it covers most of the body, it's good because his body is underwater. It doesn't say anywhere that the water has to touch his body. His body has to be totally immersed in water. Something that he doesn't care about is not considered anything that blocks the tefillah, as long as he's underwater. If he's not underwater, then the fact that he doesn't care doesn't make a difference. Tefillah means immersing the item in water. The item is immersed in water. Terence says the water can't access part of his body or part of the keli. So it depends. Midaraisa, it's only a problem if it's majority, and he cares about it. But if it's not a majority, or he doesn't care, biblically it's not a problem. Rabbinically it is, but biblically it's not a problem. So now, this woman is Taibu. She doesn't care that the fetus is in her stomach. She doesn't care that the fetus is being blocked by the stomach. Adarabba, both the fetus and the woman like the setup. And the Mela, it's not a chatzitza. And the baby is underwater, so it works for the baby.
Yeah, but the chatzitza would be the mother here in this case?
The chatzitza would be the mother, would be a chatzitza for the baby, correct.
Yeah, but first of all, so what's the Nogea La Verasimo?
So even though it's Lav Yerach Imai,
what is that?
If it would be Yerach Imai, I wouldn't need this.
I know. So Lav Yerach Imo, so what's it Nogea now? If it's Lav Yerach Imo, so what we're saying now is no chatzitza, right?
That's what we're saying.
Right, okay. But Lamaisa, there's a claw like that, right? What was
not the gay here. It's a gay by chatas. If you separate a pregnant animal for a chatas, is the baby considered a baby of a chatas and it has to be killed? Or is it considered a separate chatas and not be killed? Oh, that was where it was the gay. There's other places in the gay too, but that's not, we're not stood here now.
Okay, fine. Yuval teaches us what?
I'm sorry?
Yuval teaches us what?
Can't hear you.
What
do we say Yuval teaches us? Was a special halacha by mistress, nigo by mother. Even though it's not Yerach Imai, I say Yuval taught us that by mistress, nigo by mother. But everywhere else, we don't say that the Uber is part of the mother. So then the question is, so why if the mother is Megayer, doesn't the baby need Tefillah? So the obvious answer would be, because it's a Rubai She'enei Makbid Aleph. Nobody is Makbid on the fact that the fetus is in the mother. Right, let's catch up with Rashi. Dr. Rashi, Ein Tzarek Tefillah L'Shum Geiris, the Salkalei Tefillah De'imei, the Tefillah of the mother works. Shum D'Rabbi Yitzchak Gamer D'Vay Tayra Rubai Makbid Aleph Chatzitz, V'Ogalei Kapit Vay Chatzitzah, high blood in the revisahu. It's the way it grows. It's supposed to be that way. The Avagav Dabar Hasam Gozra Rubi Shayna Machbid. I, the Gemara there says, even if you're not Machbid, we don't let people title that way. But it's, that's a Drabunan. Hacho Kamiya Deraisa. Here, the Gabi Geras will leave it on the biblical thing. Zuck, the Gemara,
Rabbi,
that doesn't work here. Because the Amar of Anam, Oy Shanu Ela Rubai. If Kahana said, that's only true if a majority is covered. But if the item is completely covered, then the halacha of the Maisha Mitzinai would be that even though he doesn't care, we don't look at the item that is immersed in water. Meaning like this. Tefillah requires the item be immersed in water. We said a chiddush, that even though the item is immersed in water, but it's being blocked, that the water does not access the item, it doesn't bother us unless it covers the majority and he's set about it. He's Makbid Aleph. But if he's not Makbid Aleph, he never cares that it's there. It doesn't bother us that the water doesn't access the item. Comes the Rav Kahana and says that only works if the water touches a part of it. But if the water doesn't touch any part of it, we don't view it like it's immersed in water. Now this baby is totally not touched by the water. So therefore, Hilchas Chatzitza would make it sound that it's not considered a tefillah, unless it's part of mom. So we're back to the question. If you hold Uber Lav Yerach Imai, that means you hold Uber is not part of mom. Why does it work? Why does the tefillah of the mother work for the baby? The baby is not access to the water at all. The water doesn't touch any part of the baby. And Rav Kahana told us that even if you learn that a majority doesn't have to touch the water, but something has to touch the water, if not, it doesn't work. Zakhtamara, shiny Uber Dahainu Ravisei. And for the Gemara, this is not considered a block. Since this is the way Ubrim grow, this is the natural process of an Uber, we don't view mom as a chatzitza at all. So even though Uber is not part of mom, this is how Ubrim function. And therefore, to them, it's not a block to the water. This is how they exist. And therefore, the Geiris work.
Rabbi, can I ask you a question?
Can I ask you a quick question? One second. It's not a chatzitza if this is the way it grows. Let me try to explain this in a second. If a person has a, what would be considered revise? If a person has, let's take hair, right? Hair. We don't say the hair blocks the water from touching the scalp. This is how people were made. The scalp was considered that it's access to water, even though it's blocked by the hair, because that's how people are. People have hair. That it's normal. This is the way of how people exist, right? And that's true in every case. If there would be, I'm trying to think of a case where something is covered by something that's natural, we say that's how people are. The Torah doesn't expect you to be different than everybody. An Uber is that way. So an Uber can tevel the way it is naturally. A natural Uber is covered by the mother, and that's not considered a covering. That's the way it's supposed to be. Yes, Harvey.
But before we even got to the question of whether or not a Uber is fully covered or whatever, or naturally that way, I'm wondering why we're asking whether an Uber minds, whether it objects. It's a fetus. It doesn't have anything in its partially formed brain to object or not, number one. Number two, the implication of what it's objecting to in our instance here is a conversion, a religious conversion. So it seems to me all the more so.
I want to answer both points. I'll answer point one, two before point one. Makbid doesn't mean at the time of going to the mikvah. Makbid means if any time during the course of normal behavior the person doesn't want this item. I just want to explain it, not because it pertains to the fetus. I'm going to get to the fetus in a minute. Let's leave the fetus alone. Let's say a person has something on them that they don't mind if it's there when they go to the mikvah. But they would want it off at a different point in time. Let's take the ring. Here we are. The ring case. Again, the ring is not a good example because we're machmer. I'm just trying to show an example. If the woman takes off the ring when she needs dough or when she takes a shower, even though now she doesn't care that the ring is on, we say that's called makbid because there are times she doesn't want the ring on her. There are certain times that people, theoretically, and I'm not postulating, a woman never takes her ring off. She needs dough with a ring, and she goes to shower with her. It's part and parcel of her. Theoretically, I'm not passing a walk of the maisa. That woman, a ring, she's never makbid on. The problem is we don't go by one. We go by the majority. I'm not getting involved in that. But I'm just trying to prove a point. The Uber is not makbid, meaning not because we ask the Uber, and not because the Uber has any brains to answer us, or he cares about the thing. The question is the Uber something that would want it off? If we had to judge from the Uber's perspective, is there any time that he would want his mother's covering off? And the answer is no.
Well, maybe I have the reverse of the situation. I thought it's exactly the opposite. We're looking at whether the mother wants the Uber off, whether the mother wants her ring off, not whether the Uber wants its mother off. Maybe I have the entire focus reversed.
We're trying to table the Uber. So the Uber is being blocked by mom. So the Gemara's Havamina is, since the Uber had brains, would not at any point mind being where it is. So therefore, the covering of mom is not considered a covering. It's like as long as the Uber is immersed in water, which he is. The Gemara doesn't like that because it's totally covered. And when it's totally covered, we don't view it as immersed in water. So the Gemara's answer is, this is the natural way of an Uber. It's like hair covering a scalp.
No, I understand that. I understand that. I'm just trying to look at the bigger picture here of the point of the immersion by the mother. The point of the immersion by the mother, I would think, involves. It involves something that's very, very important biblically, and the Uber does not have any sort of, I mean, to me, the Uber is the ring. I may be in your analogy, the Uber is the mother.
The Uber is not the mother. The Uber is a person who's becoming a ger. The Uber has to become a ger. We don't worry about the mother. The mother is fine. She's going to the mikvah. The problem is her Uber is born Jewish. Where was his conversion? When did he convert? Now, if you view Uber as part of mom, so just like her kidney converted when she went to the mikvah, and her liver converted, her Uber converted. Her fetus is her kidney. If you learn Uber Yerachimai, while a fetus is a fetus, He's the mother's third kidney. I'm just using kidney as a mushroom. It could be any part. But if you learn Uber Lav Yerachimai, then he's not part of mom. So he's not like mom's liver. So the question is, how did the Uber become a ger? So now the Uber is the person. The Uber is being blocked by the mother, who is the ring. And the mother, who's titling herself, and she's fine, is blocking the Uber's access to water. And therefore, how can that tefillah work for the Uber? The answer we tried is, because no Uber would theoretically care, not that they're ever asked or discussed with or have an option, that the fact that they're covered by mom. So it's a kind of blockage that the person titling doesn't care about. But the answer to it, it doesn't make a difference if it's totally covered. And by the Uber, it's a total covering. So we have to go to answer number two, that this is not considered a chatzitza, because this is the natural way of an Uber.
Have a small band-aid. A restorist. I had a couple of small band-aids. No one cares about that.
Again.
Well,
again, again. Are you talking about local? Hold on.
I don't get
what
you again. We have to. Maybe you should be put away for a couple of days.
Your visit, no?
No, I saw because it only gets cast wet.
Hold a second. We're not talking halakha l'maisa. We're talking about biblically.
That.
Biblically.
Even, but no one's mocked. People are...
Again. Halakha l'maisa is not this Gemara. We're talking biblically.
What is halakha
l'maisa? Halakha l'maisa is about a Band-Aid, we make a woman take
it
off.
I'm not talking about the Band-Aid. The
baby. Is that 100% the Garris works?
No, you're not interrupting.
Don't be sorry.
I'm serious. Anyone else
can
care.
The gayer is work.
Everyone agrees that the Uber needs a
gayer. Well, if he's part of mom, he's not a separate entity.
But it's still gayer.
Yeah.
It's part of the gayer.
Correct. Well, the difference is, if he's part of mom, he became a gayer as part of mom. If he's a separate entity, he became a gayer by himself. The difference is he's the son of a gayer, or is he a ger himself? When he's born, is he a born Jew, or is he a born convert? If he's part of mom, then when he's born, he becomes a separate entity. He's the son of a Jew.
The difference is which door he is.
We're not talking about mitzvah now. We're asking, but this is a theoretical question. Yeah, but that's because it said actually Avodah, so that was different. I don't want to get there. It's exactly the custom according to Rabbi Yisrael. According to one version of Rabbi Yisrael.
One more thing. I thought the... Maybe I'm wrong, but I thought the concept of mikvahs go into a world where you can't live, and then you walk out of it.
You know, all these wonderful drashas are
right.
Great.
But it doesn't work here.
He went to the mikvah.
That he could live in the
It
world.
Doesn't Why? Say anywhere in the Torah that you can't don't have to be that you can't live in a mikvah. It happens to be true for all people who are alive that they can't live in a mikvah. Uber happens to be an exception to that rule. But that's the Torah never wrote that as a prerequisite.
That's just a nice story?
No, it's a nice understanding of why the Torah wants underwater. Not every single case would have to be that way, but what the 99% of people that type are not Uber.
Right?
You're always going to have the one that doesn't fit the reason. Correct. But the Torah didn't give the reason. Nice drush, nice shot, nice understanding, but that's not what the Torah said. The Torah said immerse in water, and the Torah gave no reason.
You can't immerse in dirt.
Well, you could, theoretically, but the Torah didn't want you to immerse in dirt. It wanted you to immerse in water.
Does it work?
No, it works. The Torah said you have to go in water. The Torah makes up what mikveh is. We don't make it up. Dr. Gemara Weiter.
What's the original question we have, whether it's the father or the mother here?
Well, there's two parts to this subject. First part we talked about on Friday was a mitzvah that's born from a mixed first generation and second generation. Where one version of Rabbi Yechonon had it saying that you go by father, because the Mishmachaisim, Levei Savaisim, these are Jews, and one version of Rabbi Yechonon said you go by mother. We understood that you go by mother because Uber is part of mother. That's what we understood. So we had a question. because we saw elsewhere that Rabbi Yochanan said Ober is not part of mother. So we slugged up that pshat and came to the pshat that mitzvah is different because the Torah said Asher Yevoldu, go by mother. We finished the subject about mitzvah. So that's the machloikis. What is Rabbi Yochanan's opinion? Go by father because of Mishmachaisim Lodeis Avaisim. You go by mother because of Asher Yevoldu. That we took care of. The Gemara now has a separate problem. You've decided that Uber is Lav Yerech Imai, Rabbi Yochanan. You decided that by the case of Chatos. When a person separates a pregnant Chatos, the baby is used as a separate entity. So I got a problem with that. Nothing to do with Mitzvahs anymore. Nothing to do with father, nothing. We have a new problem. The guy separated a pregnant Chatos for his carbon. The rule is, a Chatos that has a baby, we kill the baby. Rabbi Yochanan says that's if the animal got pregnant post being a chatas. Then it's the baby of the chatas. But if it was pregnant while he made it a chatas, he separated two animals for a chatas, mom and baby. Therefore, it's not a baby of a chatas. It's its own chatas.
One, right?
It's two, mother and baby, separate.
You still have to give it over to you.
So now, he can either bring the mother as the chatas and the baby as the chatas, and the other one would go out to graze. That's what Rabbi Yochanan said. That means Rabbi Yochanan told us Uber Lav Yerech Imai. So we got a problem now. Forget about mitzvah. Mitzvah and mitzvahs are done. We have a new problem. If Uber is Lav Yerech Imai, how does an Uber go to the mikvah? That's our problem. Zero to do with mitzvah and mitzvahs. New problem. Rabbi Yochanan told us by the case of Chatas that Uber is Lav Yerech Imai. If Uber is Lav Yerech Imai, how does a fetus go to the mikvah? If Uber is Yerech Imai, it doesn't bother us. He's part of mom. But if he's not part of mom, where is the mikvah for him? But it's not true. It says, B'no ain't tzarek tzvila. The Rabbah said, and Mubarish and his guy, B'no ain't tzarek tzvila. So he didn't say that you should dunk him when he's born.
Is there an advantage?
He's saying the halacha. We're not interested in advantage or disadvantage. He says he's born Jewish.
Doing anything wrong by
it. No, nothing's wrong here. We're just trying to figure out halacha. If Uber is not Yerech Imai, how did this baby become Jewish? That's our problem. We tried to say, because the baby is immersed in water, even though it's being blocked. The problem with that was, total blockage makes it like it's not immersed in water. The Gemara's answer is, that's if it's a non-natural block. But if it's a natural block, that's the Uber. The Uber today is the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu made it. Therefore, it's considered that he's totally immersed in water. It's like a person's scalp that's blocked by his hair. Nobody says it's a chatzitza, because that's how people are. They have hair.
We have to reconcile with
Yerushalayim. If the question is, would Rava be disagreeing in the halacha of Uber Yerushalayim? We assume not. Don't think about it. Kiyasa Rabbi Nam Rabbi Yechidim. New halacha. Be'umois halacha achar azachar. If you have two nations that intermarry, the child is considered going by father. That means, theoretically, an Amoni marries a mitzvah, Goyim. Nothing to do with Jewish. They were not Megayer. An Amoni guy marries a mitzvah woman. And they have a daughter who converts. She's an Amoinis. Even though her mother was Mitzri, and she should say, "Wow, she's a Mitzri. She's a half Mitzri." She's not. By Goyim, you go by father. Whatever nation the father is the nation both children are, boys and girls. You don't say, "Well, if it's a girl, go by Mitzri, because that's the worst one." No. That's good. By Yidden, you go by Pogum. By Goyim, go by the male.
But who the male is.
What do you mean? But you don't know who she lived with? Yeah, but again, her husband is an Amoni. You assume the kid is his.
Is this thing is Mamzerim among Goyim?
No. No.
This doesn't work for the Jewish.
This is by Goyim. Let's not mix the Yitzchus. This is Goyim. Goyim, you say, go by the father's nation. In a moment, we're going to see a big nafkamina. The father is a Kanani. The mother is a mitzvah. Or she's an American. Is the kid from the Shiva Umais? Or is he not from the Shiva Umais? By the Shiva Umais, like Chaya Kol Neshama. His mother is American. Like Chaya Kol Neshama. His father is Amaleki, and his mother is Canadian. Is the child an Amalek or is he Canadian? The Umayt Halach Achar Atachar. Nizgairu, what if the two were Megayer? Halach Achar Pogim Shemishneim. We go by the worst one of the two. As we will see, if an Amayni Ger marries a Mitzvah Geyeres, the boys will go by the father, and the girls will go by the mother. Because you go by the one that's halakhically more restricted. Pugum. The one that's pugum. By Amayni marrying a mitzvah, boys are more restricted if they're Amaynim, and girls are more restricted if they're mitzvah. So we go, boys will go one way, and girls will go the other way. But if they're Gayim, we don't look at mom. We only look at the father. How do I know this? Ba'umas ha'lech ha'gazachi k'detanya. Minayin la'echad min umay shabal ha'knanis. An American lived with a knanis. V'hoylid ben. And they have a son. Sha'ata rishol l'knais ha'be'eved. You're allowed to buy him as an eved knani, meaning you're not a mechuyev to get rid of him as l'isachaya kol neshomo. Shenemar, v'gam ha'b'nei ha'teshovim ha'garim imachem. People, inhabitants that live in your land, Mehem Tiknu. So the exception is as follows. The understanding is as follows, Rashi will tell us. People are born in the country of their mother's origin. They then move to the... I don't know why this works that way. But Rashi says, the assumption is birth takes place in mom's country. Then the child goes to live in dad's country. That's what it says. Birth takes place in mom's country. Living takes place in dad's country. So here, an American lived with a Kananis. And they have a son. Is he a Kanani or is he an American? If he's a Kanani, you can't buy him as an Evan. If he's an American, you could buy him as an Evan. So it says you are allowed to. Because the Torah says, those who are inhabitants that come from other countries, mehem tiknu. So Yochel, I feel like Echem and Aknanim Shabbal Akas Min Umas Vahilud Ben Shatarak Lishnagoy Abeva. What if the father is a Knani and the mother is an American? Talmud Loim Ashoy Lidu Ba'artichem. Only those that were born in Eretz Yisrael, which means the mother is from the Knani who lived in Eretz Yisrael. Hailidu is where mother is. Min Anoladim Ba'artichem, Veloim Min Agarim Ba'artichem. The ones you're allowed to buy are the ones born in Eretz Yisrael and their fathers live somewhere else. And the ones who live by you, which means their father comes from your country, then you can't buy them because then they're considered Kananim. Again, the Torah's assumption is that babies are born where their mother lives and they live where their father comes from. So the Torah is saying, which kind of Teshuvim, inhabitants of Eretz Yisrael, can you buy? Those born in Eretz Yisrael, but not those who live in Eretz Yisrael. What does that mean? Those who are born in Eretz Yisrael to a mother from Eretz Yisrael, but they're not that they were born and came to Eretz Yisrael because their father is from here. Because if their father is from here, then it's like Chayakol Neshama.
Can you tell me physically, where these things actually
happen? The Torah assumes that this is where physically it happens. I don't know why.
Does it mean that's how we
halachically
view it?
Well, we view it that way, I think, because that's the way physically it happens.
Where this occurs?
It doesn't make a difference. Halachic is incorrect.
You can't have a Gertosha, a
Kanani
Gertosha?
No. Unless his mother's a Kanani, you can have it. It's not a Kanani. Go by father.
The mother's a Kanani. Yeshua gives Gertosha, he has to destroy the
Kanani,
right?
Right. And then it is a mother that got away, didn't get the kill.
And she, can she become a Gertosha?
No. But her son can. Because her son is not a Kani. Rashi. Look, Rashi, but umayt, b'sheva umayt, leinil eschayek hol neshama. Holach ha'char eskorim, because the mefarish will come on. This guy, holach ha'pogish, b'shem leinil yuchsin, because the mefarish like the Gemara will explain. Lechem an umayt, she'ena b'shuva umayt. Ve'ena b'chal eschayek hol neshama. He's not included in wiping him out. Shatah v'shar l'knayte be'eva. V'yata mitzuvah la'amisa, you don't have to kill him. The shadinah le'basar avua, we go by his father. Hamalam b'bnei ha'te shavim, shabom umas ha'chayim, they came from other nations. V'nasu ha'vaisim to shavim b'mkayim chem, and their fathers moved here. Now, the love of Artichem, Sheima me Artichem, Yodas Hashem, that the mothers from your land and gave birth them there. Women are going by Artichem, Shinel Bamakam Achar, Sheima Mishar Umais, the Akkan Bologrates, the love of Artichem, that his mother's from a different nation and he came to live here. Now, here, listen to Rashi. Derech ish Shaliyaz Mim Kaima. The way of a woman is to stay in her place. The Derech ish Liglais. And the man goes to the woman's city. Hilgachan Elodim Ba'aretz. He's born in Eretz Yisrael, that means his mother is a inhabitant of Eretz Yisrael from the Shiva Umais. He's born somewhere else. That's how things worked. Now, it doesn't make a difference if it changes. The bottom line is, therefore, halacha, when it says halada, means mother, and when it says garim, means father. So it makes sense to say that when the father is a Kanani, that's when we exclude him. Yes, Rabbi Cohen.
We're just using word board just as a Roman times like that, but it doesn't matter.
Correct. It's the way the Torah expresses it. Correct.
It's what?
Mnemonic. Just name.
I don't know. I don't know if that's the right way. Mnemonic is to help you remember. This is not a memory tool. This guy who holds a kapakim should stay him. The mag. He learned that the mitzvah should not sign by this. The mitzvah married a woman that's a mamain. My pakim should stay him, mitzvah. Amayni will be Amaynus. The mitzvah married an Amaynus, her kid will never be an Amayni. She's a kosher Jew. Right? Rus's son wasn't an Amayavi because Rus was a kosher Jew. So if the mother is an Amaynus, there's only one pogrom, the mitzvah that married her. Her kids will be mitzvah. There won't be any Amayni mixed in here. Ella b'Amayni shenasa mitzvah. Izachar havi shadibasra Amayni. The boy, he's an Amayni. In the cave, Abi, Shadya Basa Mitzvah. If it's a girl, so Amaynus is not a problem, but Mitzvah is a problem. So you go by the worst one of the two. Rashi. Elaim and Mitzvah Shinas Amaynus, become a Shazin and Zara Nacharav. We put the kids after the father, the Afilu Yold in the cave, Asura Gimbal Dairus. And we don't say, go by mom, Amayni v'lo Amaynus. My pogrom should be shnei mikah, the mashma the shnei b'gumim. Pogrom should be shnei means they both have something wrong. Here, only one has something wrong. El shezeh pogrom is that, one is worse than the other. Amaynus le b'gumim midi. The Amaynus has nothing wrong. The Amaynus is v'lo Amaynus. Ela b'amayni shenasa mitzvah. The shnei b'gumim. Some both have something wrong. The mitzvah b'shai nasura, because the first generation mitzvah is usher. He will be a ger amayni. His kids will be ger amayni. Never be able to shed that title. Don't say go by dad and she's an amaynus. Mishum amaynus. No, you go by the worst one of the two if they're both Jewish. But if they're both non-Jews, we ignore mom. We only go by dad.
It's funny. By truma, we always say. If the husband dies, she goes back to her father's house.
You know? Correct.
It seems like she doesn't live by her father's city.
goes back to her father's house, doesn't say her father's city. Okay, something Mishnah Vayta. Mamzerim u'nesinim asurim. Mamzerim and nesinim are asurim. The Isur on Isser Ilam, and their Isser is permanent. Echad Zcharim v'Echad Negeva. Meaning, a mamzer's grandchild and great-grandchild, 100 generations, will always be Atzer. And the same thing is true by Nesinim, and it makes no difference, man or woman, boy or girl, it's all the same. Rashi, who are the Nesinim? Givinim shenizgairu ba'arma b'pnei Yeshua. These are the Givinim that tricked Yeshua. They came and they said they're from a different nation. Yeshua promised he wouldn't kill them, he would accept them, and then we found out that they lied, and they were from a different nation. Yeshua did not allow them to be killed, and he made them v'natzam avodim. He made them slaves. He made them into wood choppers and water drawers. That's why they're called Nesinim. They were given over to do these menial tasks. I don't call them menial tasks. These tasks. And therefore they're called Nesinim, the given ones. But really they're Givinim. There's a machloikis which nation they came from. Rashi in Kedushin says they came from Chivi. One of the seven nations is Chivi. Right, so Rashi and Kedushin says they came from Chivi. And the Medrash says they came from Abayri. Gibbon is a city. It's not one of the seven nations. Which nation did they come from? Rashi and Kedushin considers them Chivim, and the Medrash in somewhere says they were Abayri. Makes no difference. They are who they are. The question they ask is, why is an Eved Kanani called an Eved Kanani when you're not allowed to take an Eved Kanani? You're supposed to kill the Kananim. So why do we refer to a Goyish Eved as an Eved Kanani? Of all nations, he can't be a Kanani. He should be called an Eved French. Why are we calling him Kanani? Eved Akum. Why Eved Kanani? So the Mepharshim say, because Canaan got the curse, Aru Canaan, Eved Avodim Gil Echav. So the Torah identified Canaan as an Eved. So Avodim, we call them Eved Canaani. That's a Rashi and Kedushin.
Even though we should have them.
Again, Canaan. Not from Canaan you shouldn't have them.
Right, right.
But it's because Canaan is identified in the Torah as the prototype. Prototype
Eved.
It's amazing. You go each other. You live on the same block. You know. You say you get along better.
IT.
That's it. So that's why we call him Canaan. And just again, that's what Rashi said. The other Pshatim said as well. But Rashi says because Canaan was identified as Eved, so we all Gaish Avodim are all Kananim. Even though in reality, you can't have an Eved Kananim.
But if you're going more from one of the seven,
correct.
The difference between them and the Shevumos was, what, why did they have to be destroyed?
They're part of the Shevumos.
Shevumos have to destroy.
Correct.
And the Givonim, they pledged to be Jewish, right?
They, no. They lied.
About
where they came from. They said they're coming from a faraway country and they want to be Jewish. Had they said they're coming from the Sheva Umayyad, it would not have been accepted.
And Givon was an Eretz Yisrael?
Yes. They didn't say they came from Givon. They said they came from a faraway country.
Oh, it was only afterwards they found out they were Givon?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh. No, because they swore to them that they wouldn't hurt them.
They're going to tell you.
Again, Yeshua swore to them, and he wasn't going to break Yeshua. And therefore, he made them chay triyates and b'shay v'imayim.
Within
Garrison, good. 100%. Now, here comes the problem, which we're going to be dealing with. So, is it biblically prohibited or rabbinically prohibited? We discussed this once before. And over there, we ended up to marry an Asin. They're Jewish. They're from the Nesinim. Remember, like Sishatim Bum, we had a question. What? Makes no difference. The Nam Kamina is, we had the pasuk back in Daf Yubar ago of like Sishatim Bum. And we wanted to know, does that mean don't marry them when they're Gayim? Or you don't use the word Chitun by Gayim?
Right.
We use it only by Jews. So, Rava thought at the beginning that it's going on Goyim and then he changed his mind. That it come up again where this sugya seems to be in conflict with that sugya. That's why I'm pointing it out now. That's going to be a big shaila. Is this rabbinic or biblical, that Nesinim are Usser? Rava said it's biblical. That means these Nesinim are Gerim from the seven Umais, but you can't marry them biblically because the Torah said Lois is Chatanba. Amar Rish Lakish. Rish Lakish says, Mamzeres la'acha asara dairis muteres. And Mamzeres after 10 generations is muter. Yalav asiri asiri mi'amayni mayavi. There's a beautiful gra. Not that the gra needs my askama. He says, why would Rish Lakish say 10 generations? Obviously, he learns it out from Amayni. It says, Gam dair asiri yavi lahem b'chal Hashem. Right? And it's only males. It says at Olam. By Amayni it says at Olam. But it says 10 at Olam. So we say, just like by... Let me try to explain. We'll get back to the 10 in a minute. The Torah says by Mamzer, Le'yavim Mamzer B'kal Hashem, Gam Darasim Le'yavim Lem B'kal Hashem. By Amayni it says, Le'yavim Amayni B'kal Hashem, Gam Darasim Le'yavim B'kal Hashem, at Olam. How do I know Mamzer goes beyond 10 generations? The Torah only said Gam Dair Asiri. So we learn it out from Gzeri Shavah from Amman Amayev. Amman Amayev says 10 and it means at Olam. So by Mamzer it says 10, it means at Olam. Dr. Shlakish, if you're learning it out from Amman Amayev, the girls are mutter. So beyond 10 generations, the source of Mamzer is Amman Amayev. So it can't be stricter than Amman Amayev. So Dr. Shlakish, a girl mamzer is only usher for 10 generations. After that, the only reason you know it's usher is because you learned it out from Amman Amayev, but there didn't cave as a mutter. So therefore, a girl mamzer after 10 generations becomes mutter. Bas achar bas. Or maybe even bas achar ben. Because Lemaisa, she's a girl. And she's the mamzer happened 10 generations ago, meaning somebody lived with her sister, had an offspring. Right, that's generation one, Mamzer. 9 generations later is generation 10. 10 generations later is generation 11. And she's a girl. 11th generation girl is Mutter. The halakhic reason for it is because the source of beyond 10 generations is Amayni. Now the Gra says something very interesting. If you do math, the Mamzer has a child. The Mamzer lived with a person that's not a Mamzer and had a child. So the child is 50% mamzer. Because father, mother, let's say, it doesn't make a difference who the mamzer was. That child has a child. That child is 25% mamzer. Because you had a 50% mamzer who lived with a non-mamzer, and now they had a child, so that's a 25% mamzer. The child lives with the other child, the next one, so it's a 12.5% mamzer. Okay, now if you go fractions after that, that's the third generation. The fourth generation is 6.25. The fifth generation is 3.12. The sixth generation is 1.56. The seventh generation is 0.78. The eighth generation is 0.39. The ninth generation is 0.20. And the tenth generation is 0.1. A barrier is but to a 960. Once you got to 0.1, it's more than 960 parts not mamzer. So that's why, at that point, we don't consider it a mamzer anymore. There's a halacha shokanarach that a barrier is not batel, only 960. So, Dr. Gra, at 10th generation, it gets to past 960. So, Mamela, that's the reason, that's not the source. The source is Gzeres Shavah. But that's why 10? Because after 10, it's beyond 1,000. It's 1,000. Once you're at that point, you can say it doesn't count anymore. So that's why the Torah picked 10. Again, the Gra just says a Svara, a nice mathematical formula of why it's 10. That's not the source. I'm just speaking at the grah because I thought it was a cute grah, especially for people who like math.
Severia, is that
bottle,
is the
lachas
like that also?
Yeah, it's a rabbinic halacha. Severia is not bottle, only 960. So the grah says, this is just a cute part. The grah.
They must have had good records on a family genealogy.
Yes.
Not like today.
No.
But we have the same problem today.
No, you don't.
Is it a mamzer?
You don't know. Why should you worry it is a mamzer?
Back then, they did.
If they knew, they knew. If they don't know, they don't know. We're not finished yet. The Gemara's got to do with that. Nothing about I did not come on Marish Lakish from Teres Lakas or Teres Muteres. Why? Yolo Vasiri Asiri Mamayni Meyabi. Ba'ala Ha'alan Nekevus Muteres Avkan Nekevus Muteres. Because how do I know it goes beyond 10 generations? We learned it out from Xeris Shavu from Amon Amayav. By Amon Amayav, the Nekevus and Muter. Heck, the Gemara Ba'ala Ha'al Miyad Avkan Miyad. So why before 10 generations is it Nekevus Aser? Only after 10 generations is it Mamzeres Muter? I only need the Xeris Shavah for post 10 because my Mamzer it says 10 and my Amayni it says 10 at Eilam. So I need the Xeris Shavah to teach me at Eilam. Right? Mashiach came by the first 10 generations. I don't need the Xeris Shavah. The Pasuk said Mamzer can't marry for 10 generations, man and woman. But the Mumzar. Mumzar meant anyone. That's what we darshaned before. It can be both man and woman. Rashi.
No,
it isn't, because it's a Xeris Shavah for what you need it. Xeris Shavah doesn't go against the Mefarish
Apostle. So after 10, it's going to be... No, I hear women. After 10, it says Adolo.
By Mamayni Mayavi.
Right.
Not by Mamzer.
But
so we learned how to add Adolo. So we learned it how to Mamayni Mayavi. So
it can't be any better than the...
Exactly. That's what we're saying. We're going to see it's not so simple, but that's...
Why?
The Gemara is going to get to it. Rashi Gamar Asiri Asiri Mi'amayni. B'sifri Ma'asiri Yomar Ba'amayni Ad Oilam Ha'asiri Yomar B'mamzer Ad Oilam. Hukas Ma'alahal Zchor B'loin Nekevus Abka. Ma'asiri Ve'elam. Zok Rashi. The Anas Torah Dairus Di Surah B'gufi De Mamzer Ksiv. Says that by Mamzer Lekul L'mikmer Ma'amayni De Nekevus B'mutaris. The Mamzer Mumzar Mashma. Any strange part. I feel in Nekevus. Abu Ma'asiri Ve'elam. Di Surah B'gzeri Shavah Da'amayni Me'yavi Yolof. We're learning it out from Xeris Shavah Vamayni and Yavi Yavi. The Allah Mamzer Ksiba doesn't say Mamzer. Hukah Chateri Nami with the Kavis Mina Yolov. We learn that in the Kavis from there. The Amadayn Mina Mina. Come on, the Gemara is going to explain this later on. There's a Shaila how to use Xeris Shavahs. You take the Halacha from the place you learned it and bring it home. And the rest of the Halachas you apply to the home? Or do you say learn everything out? We're learning out from Vamayni and Yavi that goes beyond 10 generations. But then you bring it home to Mamzer where it applies to man and female. Amayni never did. So do you bring the halacha beyond 10 generations back home and say it's like a regular Mamzer, man and woman? Or do we say, once you learn it out of Amayni Miyavi, you have to learn it all out from Amayni Miyavi? That's called the Machloikis in Xeris Shavah. Dain mina umina, or dain mina v'uki ba'asra. Do you learn from it and from it, or do you learn from it and then bring it back home? That's the Machloikis here. Because Mamzer is man and woman. Amayni is only man. But after 10 generations, we learn Mamzer out of Amayni. Now, do you learn just the concept of beyond 10 generations? Or do you also learn no women?
But
Mamzer is a result of Kuris.
Right.
It's a love. To marry a Mamzer is a love.
Right, but there's a Kuris involved, right? Right.
Today with Shavuot, we don't ask logically.
No?
No.
We had
before, but not... It's Mufna, not Mufna, so I guess this is Mufna. I guess. Going by Amayni is for sure Mufna, because it says Ad-Oilam, so why did it have to say 10 generations?
I was thinking about that. But over there, it's not... There's no correspondence about Amayni and Amayni, right?
No.